Dama Tekachim Chabura. So the Rambam in the Parash Mishnayos has a Hagdama to Kachim, which is very kedai to read. If anything, just to make anybody feel better, if they feel like they don't come in knowing everything about Kachim. Because the Rambam says, nobody learns Kachim. The Rambam says, even the Chacham Gadol, the Amaretz, they know the same amount when it comes to Kachim, and that's basically zero. He says they don't even know things which are in some of the many, many Pesukim. So the Rambam goes on to give his basic Hakdama to the world of Kachim. What we're going to do in the Chabura today is we're going to divide the world of Kachim into five pieces and just try to outline all five of them. We'll discuss Karbanos, Avodos, Kedushos, Mekomos, and Anashim, different people in the world of Kachim. Okay, so first we'll begin with Karbanos. So I came up with a list of eight ways that you could divide different categories of Karbanos. We could categorize Karbanos.
What is being offered? Like what kind of food is it?
The type of Karban. So, for example?
Could be an animal, could be a grain, could be...
Okay, so that's one. That's one. The first one on my list, Zvachim or Menachos. When we, the Kol, learned Menachos 2 years ago. So one of the major themes was what is the relationship between Zvachim and Menachos. If you look in the Rambam, I think it was Perek Yud of Ma'aser Karbanos is where he begins the discussion. And the Rambam begins by telling you, he has a line like, even the Menachos are a kind of carbon. But that is definitely a tip that you are dealing with a completely different world of carbon. The avodas are different. The method of kedusha is different. So level one, is this an animal bichlal or not? Zvachim or Menachos. You also have kind of similar pieces. You have wine could be brought as a carbon, oil could be brought as a carbon, eitzim maybe can be brought as a carbon. That's controversial. So that's piece number one. Is this an animal? Is this a mincha or something else?
Whether something's obligatory or not obligatory, or generally the need, why you're bringing it.
Chova or nedava. That I had as letter G. What number is G? A B C D E F. G is seven. All right, you have karbanos which are a carbon chova. We brought because somebody sinned. We brought because of a zman or a carbon musaf, a carbon tamid, a carbon pesach, carbon chatas, carbon ashram. Then you have karbanos of nedava, carbon ola, carbon shlamim, carbon mincha, which a person just wants to bring. Okay, very good. So those are two.
You shouldn't let him get away with things. Like if he says that a carbon ola is a nedava, you might want to say, I'm not so sure. It's always in the dava, so
absolutely.
We'll just let that slide.
Okay, good, very good.
I'm just saying, Don't let him get away with that. Don't just let him walk all over you.
The occasion for offering them, timing.
Okay, what do you mean?
Some are, first of all, there are time restrictions on some of them. Some are offered on every day, some are offered on Shabbos Antif.
Okay, so I didn't put this on my list, but that is a good one to add, number nine. Is it a carbon she kavua lo zman, or is it a carbon which isn't kavua lo zman? Right, you have some carbonos which are dependent upon time, and some which are not. Okay, very good.
Kachim column.
Excellent. What is the category of kedusha we have over here?
Did I get that first term right? That's right,
kachim. Kachim. I think some will say kachim kadashim, but... In the Valtir, just say kachim. I don't know. Kachim, kachim, and kachim kalim. Right, so this is discussed really in the Mishnayos and Parakeh Mekoman, which everyone says. So everyone knows this. Not a problem. Kachim, kadashim are pretty straightforward. That's classic carbon. Kachim kalim, so you have the shlamim of a yachid, carbon toda, the isle of the nazir, the carbon shlam that the nazir brings. Right, which comes up in Yordaya because the Zerah B'Sheila, and then the Karbanos that we call B'Mup, B'Chor, Ma'aser Behema, U Karban Pesach. So what are some of the differences between Kachim Kachim and Kachim Kalim? So three main ones to think about. Number one, where does the Shechita take place? If it's Kachim Kachim, the Shechita always has to be in the north of the Azara, Shechita's Tzafon. If it's Kachim Kalim, then the Shechita can take place anywhere in the Azara. Number two, where are they eaten? Kachim, assuming we're dealing with a carbon which is eaten. So, for example, we're not dealing with with an ola, assuming it's an eaten carbon. So it can be only be eaten within the azara, and it can only be eaten by the kohanim. Kachim kalim can be eaten anywhere within Yerushalayim, and anybody as long as they're not tamei. And the third major difference between them is the question of me'ila. When it comes to kachim kalim, there is no me'ila until after zrika. And even after zrika, there's only me'ila on the emurin. The emurin, which are the specific fats, which are going to be burned on the mizbeach. Okay, so so far we have zvach menachos. We mentioned kavu lozman. We have the level of kedusha.
Also,
who eats them?
Who eats them?
Right, the Kohen versus the... I think I mentioned that, right?
The Zichri Kuhuna versus women. Kachin Kalim can be eaten by women.
Kachin Kalim can be eaten even by Yisrael.
Right.
It can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim, by anybody.
It's male Kohanim.
I think I mentioned that, right. I think I mentioned Kohanim, but right, we're only talking about the...
Zichri Kuhuna.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, very good. Very good.
Only because there are other matnos kahuna which are eaten by kohanim that and can be eaten by a bas kohen or eshes kohen.
Okay, so another one is the karban male or female, zachar and akeva. Every single karban tzibur is zachar. Every chatas yachid is nakeva, except the chatas of the melech, or the nasi, the parah kal mitzvos, and one more, which is very, very important for us this year, chatas of yachid, which is a zachar, the karbanos brought by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. So, you know, when we are approaching the world of kachim with this in mind, so that right away is going to raise a question. Why are the two karbanos of the Kohen Gadol, normally these are brought as a nekeva, these are brought as a zachar, something is off here, so that's, you know, a question that will come up when we discuss this. Okay. Any more I want to throw out before I just start talking? Okay. Is it a carbon yachid or is it a carbon sibur? This is also going to be very important for us this year. Karbanos of the tzibur usually come, general rule, with the money from the Trumas Halishka, which is the collection from the collection of the Machatzis HaShekel. That's as a general rule, as opposed to chatas as a carbon yachid, which is bought with personal funds. But you know, we'll be on the lookout for gray zones. Are there cases which don't fit into that very, very neat bifurcation? I'll actually mention one in a second. Some of the classic nafkamina between chatas, carbon tzibur and carbon yachid, tamura. Right, the Torah in the end of Bichukosai tells us that you are not allowed to take an animal that you've designated to be a karban and swap it for another. And that's the case even if this is even if the new animal is going to be nicer than the old one. You can't do that. That is tamura. If you ignore the Isser and you do so anyway, so both karbanos have kedusha. The original karban has kedusha, and the karban you tried to transfer it to, that's called the tamura, and it also acquires the same kedusha. You only have tamura for a karban yachid, which kind of makes sense because I am the owner of the karban, so I am the one who has the rights or the ability to try to make a tamura. World of karban sibur, there definitely is no chalos of tamura. The Rambam is of the opinion there's an iser to even try, which is very controversial, but that's one major difference. As a general rule, the questions of whether this karban is brought on Shabbos and whether this karban is docha tuma. As a general rule, we'd say that if it's karban tzibur, it is brought on Shabbos and is docha tuma. If it's a karban yachid, it's not brought on Shabbos, it's not docha tuma. We can maybe think of maybe one example offhand which could break that rule, break that paradigm. Excellent. What did you say? Say it again.
Korban Pesach.
But you were saying something, then I cut you off.
Is it a Korban Yachid?
Ah, okay. Right. So very good. We'll get to that this year, Mitzvah Hashem. You think the Korban Pesach was the original source for being for Korban Asmin Docha Tuma, but it seems like it's Korban Yachid. So that's again, right, as we said, the question of carbon yachid versus carbon tzibur, the general rule of thumb is that if it comes from the trumas halishka, it's a carbon tzibur, but that's a great example of how this can get more complicated, and we'll have others in the world of avodas yom kippur. Smicha, you do not have smicha on a carbon of the tzibur, you only have smicha as a general rule for a carbon yachid. And also, shinui bailim, the Mishnah in the beginning of Zvachim tells us that karbanos have to be brought with proper intent, and if you have improper intent, that can ruin certain karbanos. The two specific intents you have to have are what is the karban, ola, zvachim, shlachata, shlamim, asham, etc., and who is this being brought for. So if it's being brought for Reuven and you say it's being brought for Shimon, that is called shinui bailim. So if Moshe has a chatas and the Kohen says it's being brought for Yair, that's going to pass the chatas. But if the tzibur is bringing a chatas and somebody says, it's being brought for someone else, there's no shinui bailim for a carbon of a tzibur. Okay. There's one major yesod we need to know whenever we talk about carbon of tzibur.
What would it mean to be mishana bailim for carbon of tzibur?
It's
like, I'm bringing it on behalf of Aram?
No, I'm bringing it on behalf of one guy.
To the exclusion of other people.
Right.
This is
it's a very fair question. It's a very good question. And it's gonna,
if you only bring it for one person and you don't bring it to the exclusion of others, so perhaps that's still a kiyum of l'shem bailam, because that person is the bailam.
Yeah.
The only way to do it shalola bailam would be to say to the exclusion of people, which maybe not the only.
Well, okay, so we're gonna touch on this in one second, because there's another case that this can feed into. When Rav Dani Wolf and Gush would give the Kachim Hagdama that I heard from him, so he always loved to raise this point, the question of what exactly is the carbon of a tzibur, what exactly is the tzibur. So if all of Klal Yisrael got together, you know, like in California when they all get together to recall the politicians, right? So if everybody got together to contribute to bring a carbon, would that be a carbon tzibur or not? What do we think?
Based on what you said yesterday or 2 days ago, maybe not.
What do you mean?
Tzibur is an Eretz Yisrael.
Okay, so all Klal Yisrael, everyone in Eretz Yisrael got together. Every citizen of Israel is putting in their 2 cents, and we're bringing a carbon.
Is it still like an obligation to bring a
I mean, the question is
the carbon's being brought by the tzibur, right? Everybody chipped in.
But so it might just be considered everyone bringing together as an individual, rather than.
Yeah, so that's the question. So Rashi and the Ramban, actually in the beginning of Vayikra, debate this point. If everybody gathered money together to purchase a carbon, is that a carbon tzibur or not? I believe Rashi thinks that it would not be a carbon tzibur, and the Ramban thinks that it would. I'm pretty sure. So what exactly is the Shorash and the Chokas over here? So the Rav has Yesod. He's not the only one, as we'll talk about in a second, who explains that the tzibur is not just what we call an osaf shel yachidim. It's not just a collection of individuals. There's a separate chalos of a tzibur. You have a separate entity called the tzibur of Klal Yisrael. And the carbon is not just being brought by, you know, Tom, Dick, and Harry, and everybody else. It's being brought by the chalos of tzibur. And so what are some of the nafkamina of this? It's a very, very important idea, although it is also debated. So we mentioned the easiest one to think of, which is what if everybody just gets together to bring a carbon? Everybody, all the people involved, that doesn't make it a carbon tzibur necessarily. Rav Menachem Zemba has the exact same, basically, idea. What is he talking about? Let me remember this 1 second. I wrote this down. Very good. Right, so there's an isser of Lo Sizbach Chametz Al Dam Zivchi. On Erev Pesach, you cannot have, well, it's a question of who exactly, but whether it's the Kohen or the Bailim, can't own chametz when you are bringing the carbon Pesach afternoon. Now there's another carbon which is brought already in the Zman that it's aser to own chametz, and that is the carbon Tamid. So the Bali Tosas are very bothered, because what if some guy in Petach Tikva owns chametz, right? If we assume that the Yisr of Lo Sizbach Chametz Al Dam Zivchi applies if one of the Bailim owns Chametz, and we also assume that the Tamid has the same Yisr, So how does this work? Because one guy in Petah Tikva owns chametz, the kohen who does the avodah is going to violate the yisur, the lo yitachem, but it's a big problem. So Rav Nachman was able to explain. He says, no, there's a difference between a carbon tzibur and a carbon yachid. And the carbon tamid is not a carbon of a bunch of individuals, it's a carbon of the tzibur as a whole. So when we talk about a carbon pesach, yeah, so there we can look at the individual bialim. If one of them owns chametz, it's going to be a problem for whoever is doing the hakrava. When we talk about the carbon of the tzibur, we're not looking at any individual person. If the kohen who's doing the avoda has chametz, that could be a problem, maybe. But the fact there's a guy in Rosh Tzirim, that's not going to bother us. That's the explanation that Rav Nachum Zemba gives over there. The two more nachmila come out of this. One is this explains one of the funnier mishnayos. You know, I have a cousin who has a great article about humor in the Gemara. So there's humor in the Mishnah, actually. Shkalim, Parakalif, Mishnah Dalit. The halach, if you bring a Karban Mincha, so if you bring a Karban Mincha, you guys are both not Kohanim, right? Okay, so if any of us bring a Mincha, so you have a tiny bit of it, which is picked up as Kemitza, burnt on the Mizbeach, and the rest of it is eaten by the Kohen. If Rav Brand would bring a Kohen, that's called a Minchas Kohen, and the Minchas Kohen is entirely burnt. So, in the Mishnah Shkalim, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says that the Kohanim patur themselves. They declared that they were exempt from having to give the Machatzis HaShekel. Why? Because they said, like, if we contribute to the Trumas HaLishka, then every Karban Mincha brought by the Tzibur is going to be a Minchas Kohen. And then it's going to have to be Kulo Kolil. So, Riochon and Mizakai did not approve of what the Kohanim said for themselves. The question is, why are they wrong? Right? Some of the contributors to this Karban are Kohanim. So why isn't it considered a Minchas Kohen? So the Yerushalmi links this to another halacha. There are five cases where if you have a Karban Chatas, and for whatever reason something goes wrong, it can't be brought right now, the Karban has to die. So for example, if the owner of the Chatas dies, then the Halacha Moshe Sinai, Chatas Lamisa Azla. If it was lost, and meantime they got kapara from a different one, so now you have this animal, you found it, what do you do? Nothing you do with it. Chatas Lamisa Azla. So the Yerushalmi says there is a halacha that Chatas Tzibur Shemesa is not Lamisa Azla. If we come up with a case, or Rachmana Litzlan, let's say B'nai Yisrael Midbar, right? So they had designated a carbon Chatas, and then the entire Tzibur passes away, leaving only, let's say, the children, right, the women and children, in the case of Midbar, but, so a new generation comes up, they are allowed to bring that carbon. So what is the basis for that, and what is the connection between Chatas Tzibur, Lav Lamisa Azla, and this question of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai and the Kohanim? So the Rav explains, it's really very simple. All that we're saying here is that a tzibur is not a group of yechidim. It's not a group of individuals, right? It is its own entity. So therefore, the fact that the Kohanim are contributing to the Trumas HaLishka, that doesn't matter, because I don't look at this carbon as, it's, Reuven's carbon and Shimon's carbon and Levi's carbon and the Kohen's carbon. No, it's the carbon of the tzibur. And in parallel, the fact that every individual who donated to purchase this carbon has died before it could be brought also doesn't make a difference, because it's not a carbon of the people who purchased it. It's a carbon of the tzibur, and the tzibur definitely still exists. And the last piece, very, very related to that, that the Rav would apply this to, is Rabbi Kiv Eger has a comment that maybe, halach lamaisa, women and men under the age of 20 should be pater from tefilas musaf, because it's only the musaf is purchased in the Trumas HaLishka, and if you're under 20, you don't have to pay for the Machatzis HaShekel. So you shouldn't have, the 18-year-old kid can have as good a voice as you want, but he should not be the Shliach Tzibur. So the Rav says, no, not at all, because it doesn't matter whether or not you actually contributed to the Trumas HaLishka or not. Just like the Kohanim had made the contribution, but nonetheless, the Karban was not called a Minchas Kohen, So too, even those who are patur from donating to the machsa, to the Trumas HaLishka, the carbon is still covering them. They still are involved in the carbon. So this now would, you know, to go back to Yair's point from before, the question of right, well, you know, according to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, you could have a case, you could have a case of shini b'ayilim, right? Because according to Rabbi Akiva Eiger, maybe you could say, what if you bring the carbon musaf for the guy who didn't contribute to the Trumas HaLishka, right? But the Rav would, the Rav and Rav Nachum Zemba would disagree. Well, okay.
Why is it clear that if they don't contribute, can you argue that anyone who contributes should be who comprises the tibur? Instead of saying that if you don't contribute to them, you're still included in the tibur.
Hard to say. Why would your participation in Klal Yisrael depend on your investment in the carbon?
Maybe it means the tibur not of Klal Yisrael, it means the people who are offering karmanos. Or whatever carbon that is.
Mm-hmm. I guess in theory you could, but that doesn't seem to be what we're assuming here. We're assuming that the carbon is brought by Kahal Das Yisrael. And that's pre-existing kalos, independent of who actually purchases the animal.
No, that's the kalos that you alluded to in the Devei Bracha at the Bris. Because it has other nafkamina. So let's say...
It's a similar concept.
So the Rabbam, the Rabbam in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, in a lengthy comment in the Sefer Mitzvos, makes similar this concept. Point, that right? And that's why, you know, you were focusing on it from the Sanhedrin element of being Mitzige Klal Yisrael, that it's only the people in Eretz Yisrael. It's Gemara and Horus and Daf Gimel. So Sheffield loves this topic. And... The context over there is Dafka Lagabe Karban. The Gemara has this idea that ain't Tzibur Meis. So there is such a thing as the Chalos of a Tzibur that relates to all of the people who comprise the community of Israel, which are the Toshavei Eretz Israel.
Right. And it's
Dafka in the realm of Karbanos, where Rabbi Yehuda makes the comment, ain't Tzibur Meis.
Well, that's so, the right. That's the same idea as the Chadas Tzibur Lav Misa Asla. Ain't Tzibur Meisim.
So
what does that mean?
So the definition of a tzibur is all the people who live in Eretz Yisrael. And so one of the expressions of that is that, you know, people are giving machzas a shekel, but the chalos of the tzibur already has a, you know, it's other hashlokos.
Right.
Does it even invoke this idea of, like, you know, the kahal and Eretz Yisrael in this context? Or, meaning... I would find it very surprising if anyone limited the chiyuv the tefilas musaf to Eretz Yisrael.
Right. Not that I saw.
Okay.
So there, I think you could also make a distinction between when you talk about a formal amida l'minyan type of question, one realm of halacha where you need to figure out who are the people in the neighborhood. So that is going to be defined on the geographic boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. But once you have this concept of Knesset Yisrael, it could include lots of other people. Right? It can include Jews everywhere, theoretically.
Yeah, I mean, the specific example of Tefillah, where it's Midrabanan, is definitely less pressing anyway. But it's a fair question. If somebody, you know, would the people in Bavel get Kapara from the Seir Mishtalech?
Right.
Something we should look into, probably, over the course of this one. Okay, so the last two that I had. So again, so far we've talked about the Zvach Menachos, we talked about Yachad and Tzibur, we talked about the level of Kedusha, we talked about Chov and Adava, Talib Azman, and there are, I think, two more major ways that we can distinguish in different Kabbanos. One is, I'm kind of surprised, honestly, nobody mentioned this before, the category of carbon. What carbon is this? Ola, Chatas, Shlamim, or Asham, right? Those are the main four categories in the world of Zvachim. Those are the main four. So that's immediately how you'd want to divide your karbanos. We'll talk about the purpose of some of them as we go.
Zvachim just means animal
karbanos. Zvachim means animal karbanos, okay. Right, exactly. Yes. Right, the ola, the ola's defining feature is that it's entirely burnt, it's kulo kolil. The chatas really comes for kapara. So the Gemara and the Mishnah, so in Zvachim and Kol Tadir, when they talk about which karbanos are brought first, so and then the Gemara after that, sorry, everything has a competition. So do you bring the Ola first, and because it's Kulo Kalil, or do you bring the Chadas first, because it comes for Kapara? Talk about Chadas for a second, and then we'll talk about Asham for a second. There's one second basic distinction in the world of chatas between chatos pnimios and chatos chitonios, which you see even the term in the beginning of in Parshas Vayikra already strongly emphasizes this, and this is going to be something that's very, very important for us to think about when we learn Yuma. The chatos chitonios is the classic chatos, which is brought on the Mizbeah, as opposed to other korbanos. The chatas has to have a matan damim on all four corners of the Mizbeach. Regular, let's say your ola, your asham, your shlamim, the Mishnah says you only have shtayim shein arba. You just have to have, you throw blood on two corners. It'd be very efficient, because if you get one corner, the other corner, you'll get all four. Bechor, Meiser, and Pesach, which are really about achila, you only need one nesinas dam. But the chatas, you need all four. So that's an important thing to think about. Why is that the case? But the chatos pnimios, so there are really three of those. You have the parham davar shel tzibur, the carbon which is brought by the Sanhedrin, or by Klal Yisrael, in the event that the Sanhedrin makes a mistaken ruling in a case where there's a chiyuv kares, and the majority of the kahal, and that is the case where the Gemara in Horios raises the idea that kahal has to be in Eretz Yisrael, they make mistakes, they have to bring a parham davar shel tzibur, that is, its blood is sprinkled on the paroches, or towards the paroches, and on the mizbeach hazav, inside the heichal. It doesn't touch the Mizbeach HaChitzon at all. If the Kohen Gadol issues a mistaken ruling, so that's called the Par Kohen Mashuach, same deal. That also needs to be brought inside. And also the Par Besar Shel Avodah Zarah, if the Sanhedrin's mistaken ruling was in the realm of Avodah Zarah, so that's a special halacha. Besides bringing a par, they also bring a sa'ir that the Torah talks about in Parshas Shlach. So those are the three classic chatos pnimios. And then in addition, we have the par of the Kohen Gadol and the Sawyer of the Tzibur.
I don't mean to interrupt, just want to give a message.
Good work. Oh, thank you so much. Right, so the par of the Kohen Gadol and the Sawyer Lashem of the Tzibur on Yom Kippur, which there you have an Asinas Dam on the Mizbeach HaZav, on the Paroches, and also in the Kodesh HaKadashim. So, you know, one of the major issues definitely for us to work out this year is what is the relationship between the chatos chitonios and the chatos pnimios? What, if any, are the differences between the chatos pnimios and the chatos of Yom Kippurim? Are these really two categories or three? Is the nesina on the paroches and the nesina on the mizbeach different from a Yom Kippurim to the other ones? So that's going to be something very, very important for us to think about. One other just major question I want to touch on briefly, that Rav Lichtenstein loved to talk about when we talk about these four basic categories of karban, and ola, chatas, asham, and shlamim, is that there are two which seem pretty redundant. Right? The chatas and the asham, they're normally translated, the sin offering and the guilt offering you'll normally see. So what the heck is the difference between a sin offering and a guilt offering? So the Ramban writes about this. I think both the Rav and Rav Lichtenstein love to quote this Ramban. The idea that the chatas really comes from the idea of to stray, like I think he quotes in Shoftim, where in the parak of the whole Pilagish Regiva story, where the Navi says that the people from Binyamin were excellent with a slingshot, right? And the way the Navi says that they never missed was that the rock was never chote. So chatas comes from to stray, and he says that Ashram, the shorash of Ashram is shimama, destruction, and the suggestion that the explanation he makes, and really Rav Lichtenstein goes on to build up, is the idea that the chatas really is there for kapara. It's there to fix the wrong. It's always brought for a case of shkaga, as opposed to karban asham, which sometimes is brought bizadon, and there it's brought just to defend against destruction. It may not even be there for kapara the same way as the karban chatas. So, for example, mentioned a second ago, the Gemaras in Kol Tadir, which talk about, let's see, what should you do first? The Ola, because it's Kulo Kolil, or the Chatas, because it's Balachaper. Well, you know what the Gemara doesn't have any question about at all? Ola versus Asham. Why? Is an Asham the same Kapara as Karba Chatas? Well, not to the same degree, apparently. So that's, you know, I'm not sure we're going to get into Asham so much this year, but what exactly is, definitely Chatas I'll talk about extensively, so we probably will want to get to, what exactly is the Yesod of Chatas, and that suggestion which is out there.
You just might want to mention in this context
sure.
That there are two categorically different types of Ashamos. There's Asham Vadai and Asham Tali.
Okay.
And that's a very unusual idea. So Asham Vadai, I understand that somehow, the Netziv talks about this in the Amik Dover, that you have to somehow group all the things that you did for an Asham that create that Shmama, so you're going to group them together. But the fact that you bring a carbon up is something that you're not sure, so, I don't know, wait 10 minutes and sort it out, figure it out. The fact that you bring a carbon in a state of ambiguity, which, if you find out before you bring that carbon what the reality is, you're now no longer obligated to bring that carbon. The concept of an Asham Tali, which is usually when they talk about Ashamos, it's usually talking about Asham Tali. It's a very interesting kind of carbon.
Right. The Rambam counts two separate mitzvos. The Rambam counts the mitzvah of Asham Vadai separately from the mitzvah of Asham Tali, which is really interesting. There's another, if you want to look, you know, more into the carbon Asham, so it happens to be the, for further research, the first Kol Tzvi that was ever put out by the Polayon.
Which is fan-rific.
It's the best. It's, I mean, they have, like, Ben Arsh is in there, you know, it's, Rosenzweig has his first Lishma article in there. There's every piece in there is just like gold. It was wildly ridiculous Kolayon in the beginning of the Kolayon history, but there are two outstanding articles there about the Carbon Asham. Rabbi Rosner has an article on the Carbon Asham, which when Rosenzweig and the Zachen Kolal that we had in my first year in YU in the summer, so those were very, very similar Mahalchem that he develops over there, which is you know, along these lines, the idea of the carbon Asham is not for kapara per se, or if we call it kapara sagavra, you know, it's the idea of defending the person as opposed to just fixing the carbon. There's another terrific article there by Rabbi Eitan Meir, who I think was at the Jewish Center at the time, so represent the Jewish Center. Over the summer, I saw a similar mahalach actually developed by Yoni Grossman in his carbon book, where they argue, and this does not really fit with the Rambam, but it is a great hezber for the Asham Talui. The term makes a big deal that the Asham has to be of a certain shovi, has to be, I think, two sela. And the question is, why is that so important? It doesn't matter for the other karbanos what they are. And the suggestion that the karban Asham to think of as the focus really is on the chafza as a tashlumin. You stole from Hekdesh, and therefore you need to pay back. That works beautifully with some of the Ashamos. It's a little bit more tricky to fit into some of the other ones. It's easiest for the Asham Ilos.
Gzelos and Mehilos.
Right. It works very nicely for Gzela as well, because you don't bring an Asham Gzela for stealing. You bring an Asham Gzela for
lying.
For swearing.
Right.
When you invoke Hashem's name to steal. So they both are. They're both terrific pieces.
Asham Shivcha Charuva. That's harder.
That's the hardest one. That's the weakest one.
Harder.
The Nazir, the Mitzora, it works. The Shivcha Charufa is a big problem. That's not so compelling. I did not look. I have to look back at Itamar's piece to see how it works out. But it was awesome for Asham Talui, because the suggestion to make for Asham Talui is, what are you stealing from Hekdesh? You're stealing a Karbon Chatas. Because you don't know if you have to bring Karbon Chatas or not, so you're not going to bring one. But could mean you're stealing from Hekdesh again. So that's another idea that's out there for Asham. Again, both of these Mahalchim, one really developed in the Rabbi Rosner piece, one developed in the Rabbi Meir piece, are focused on the Karban Asham is not about pure Kapara, one focusing on it from the Ramban perspective, Kapara Sagavra, one focusing on it from the perspective of, you know, looking at the Chefza of the animal itself. You have Chatos where you bring a bird. You have a Karban Olav Yored. No such thing for a Karban Asham. We focus on the Chefza, and the idea of that as a Tashlum is something that's really interesting to think about. The last way I really think to divide the other karbanos is in Rav Lechonstein's Shir HaKdama. This is what he focuses on. What is the purpose of this karban? Rav Lechonstein identifies five purposes, so we'll outline them. Number one, the first one he has is karbanos which are brought for what he calls tmidiyut. There are things which you just a functioning Mishkan, a functioning Beis HaMikdash, has all the time. So those are some of the examples we would think of. Think regular pieces of the Avodah of the Mikdash. Tamid, right? Tamid's the first one, exactly. What else?
Tores.
Maybe two more we can throw out. So the Minchas Chavitim, which is brought by the Kohen, I'll talk about that in a second, but that's related to the Karban Tamid. So let's put that on the side for just a second. Very good. So we said Ketores, Tamid,
Neros.
The Neros of the menorah. We are going to skip this year the Trumas Adeshin because that's discussed in the second parak of Yuma, but is that an avoda or not is a very good question. But the Hakrava of Lachem Apanim, right? So you think about every major kli of the Mishkan has constant use, right? The Mizbeach has the Tzmitin and the Mizbeach Hazav has the Ketores, and the Menorah has the Neros, and the Shulchan has the Lachem Apan. Okay. Rav Chazin also points out there, and we talk about this past year, we did Tamid Nishchad, that you see from the Pesukim already that there are really two different dinim in the Karban Tamid. The Torah talks of the Karban Tamid once in Parshas Tetzaveh, and once in Parshas Pinchas. Why? Because the Karban Tamid plays two roles. One role the Karban Tamid plays is part of the regular calendar of Karbanos. Every day you bring a Tamid. Every week you bring a musaf for Shabbos. Every month you bring a musaf for Rosh Chodesh, and then you have all the musafin for the different Yom Tovim. That's what the Torah is discussing in Parshas Pinchas. In addition, part of the Hagdara of a Beis HaMikdash is that it has certain avodas that are happening constantly. So in the Torah in Parshas Tetzaveh is telling us about how to build a Mishkan, you can't just have buildings and utensils in a Mishkan. Avoda is part of the definition of a Mishkan itself, and that is, we talked about, right, the menorah, the Ketores, the Lachem Apanim and the Tamid, all of which are discussed in Sefer Shmos. Okay.
You could also throw in the Kohen Gadol, especially for Rosen
Zweig. I said we want to talk about Karbanos, Avodas, Kedushas, Mekomas, and people. So 100%.
But Kohen Gadol, in terms of Smidis,
but
you
yes,
throw them in.
Yes. Yes.
Have you heard this from Rosen Zweig? That the
always on
language, the Kohen Gadol is part of the furniture of the Beis Hamikdash. From a level of Tmidius.
Right. Rav Schachter says he's part of the furniture, or Rosenzweig says he's always on call.
He's always on call. They have the same, he's so a different language.
Yeah. Yeah. Which we're going to have to discuss definitely in detail a little bit today and definitely more this year. Okay. So, second kind of carbon are carbonos which are brought for kapara. Your classic carbon chatos. Let's say your classic carbon asham. If we're learning Zvachim, we would talk a lot about the Karban Ola, to what degree the Torah does mention Kapara in the context of the Karban Ola, but that's purpose number two. Definitely in the world of Yavodah Yom Kippurim, which we'll be focusing on this year, that is going to be the one which will be front and center for us. Category number three, Karbanos, which you say are brought for something called Ritzui. You don't need to atone for a sin. You want to come closer to the Ribono Shel Olam. The paradigmatic example of the Karban of Ritzui, Karban Shlamim. Right, carbon shlamim person. Everyone's happy with the carbon shlamim, and the halacha, which really brings us to the fore the most. It's the machlokas and the rishonim, but the Gemara in Yuma and in a bunch of other places tells you that Torah says that already the carbon shlamim has to be shechted lifnei pesach ol moed. So the Gemara says, what does that mean in front of the pesach ol moed? It means the doors of the heichal must be open when a carbon shlamim is brought. Now, the Rishonim argue, is this only a din in the Karban Shlamim, or not? The Balei Tosfos do not think so, but both Rashi and the Rambam think that there is a unique psul for Karban Shlamim. Any other Karban, if it's brought and the doors of the Heichal are closed, that's fine. The Shlamim, if it is brought and the doors of the Heichal are closed, that is a psul for the Shlamim. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what is the idea of a Shlamim being communicated by the Shita of Rashi and the Rambam, right? That the Karban Shlamim specifically is about Ritzui. That is a Karban all about trying to build a relationship with Ribono Shel Olam. And doing that with the Rosh Deichal closed doesn't make any sense. Okay. Two other categories of Karban to just put out there. We're not really, I don't think, going to discuss this very much this year. Last year we did a bunch. You have Karbanos which are brought for Achila, Karbanos which are brought for eating. So those are the Bechor, Maaser, and Pesach. Mentioned before, one way that you see this in the Mishnah is that the Bechor Maaser Pesach, you only need a single Nesinas Dam. You do not need to cover the entire Mizbeach with your Nesinas Dam. You just need one Nesinas Dam. The Bechor, which belongs to the Kohen, the Maaser Behemah, which belongs to the Bailim, and the Karban Pesach, which we discussed a whole lot last year, the Achil of the Karban Pesach, in many ways, is the primary Mitzvah. So just one example to explicate that. We saw Shita of Rashi last year. Almost all Rishonim, because the Gemara does, so everybody except for the Rambam, is of the opinion that we mentioned that that psul of shinoi bailim before. Remember that if you do the avoda for the wrong person, it's a psul, right? So the Gemara says that that's only true b'shas zrika. If I did the shchita for somebody else, I did the kabbalah for somebody else, that's not a problem. It's only a problem b'shas zrika. The reason for that is understandable, because the zrika, and we're going to talk about avoda in a second, the zrika, when you put the blood on the mizbeach, that is the moment where kapara is achieved. There seems to be one exception, and that is the Karban Pesach. If you shecht a Karban Pesach for the wrong people, so again, this is complicated, let's go with Kashrut Pshat, and the way Rashi says explicitly, so Rashi says, if you shecht a Karban Pesach for the wrong person, that is also a psul, because the shechita of the Karban Pesach is as central as how the bailim relates to the Karban as the zrika for all the Karbanos. Why? Because all our kabanos, you ask the guy, why is he bringing this? I'm bringing this to sprinkle it on the mizbeach, so that I can get the kapara you mentioned, I can get the ritzo you mentioned. But the Karban Pesach, you ask the guy, why are you bringing the Karban Pesach? And he will tell you, I am bringing this so that I can eat it. Since he's bringing this so that he can eat it, so he can fill the mitzvah of achilas pesach at night, therefore the shechita is of paramount importance. And Rashi of the opinion, that's why there is shinui bailim for shechita, as well as for zrika, in the Karban Pesach alone. So those are four main purposes of kabanos: tamidius, kapara, ritzui, achila. There's one last reason karbanos will be brought there, Lechatin points out, which is sometimes you have a karban which is simply brought as a machshir. You have somebody who cannot do X, and in order for him to be able to do X, he has to bring a karban. So for example, mechaser kapara. You have a mitzora. Before the mitzora can finish his tara process, he has to bring the karbanos of mitzora. The Torah talks on parashas mitzora. A ger is another example. A ger has mila and tefila, but before the ger can eat kachim, he has to bring the carbon of ger. So you have, that's a fifth category of carbonos. Okay, so adkan, the world of ways that we can divide carbonos and some of the basic ideas behind some of those concepts. With the next 25 minutes, we'll try to blitz through the rest. We'll talk about avodas for a second.
Are we going to be dealing with all of these categories? Specifically, I'm thinking of certain aspects of the Avoda and Yom Kippur being Machshir, like the Kohen Gadol entering the Kodesh Kodashim, or Matir, and maybe those are a little bit slightly different terms.
There's definitely no Karban that the Kohen Gadol brings to allow him to go into the Kodesh Kodashim. When we talk about the
Ketoret.
So we'll have to, very good. We'll have to think about when it comes to the Ketoret, right? Okay, very good. Fine. Avoda. So there are four avodos hadam. There are four services done with the blood of a carbon. You slaughter the animal, shechita. You catch the blood, kabbalah. You bring the blood over to the mizbeach, holacha, and then you sprinkle or place, depending on the carbon, the blood on the mizbeach, and that is what we call zrika. In Menachos, you have a parallel four avodos. I think we will discuss this in Yuma. You have kamitza, scooping up a little bit of the flour. That is parallel to shechita. You have nesina b'kli, right, placing the komets in a kli shares. That's parallel to kabbalah. And then once again, you have holacha, and then you have haktara, burning the komets on the mizbeach. When you bring a bird, there is no parallel avoda to kabbalah. There you have malika. You take your fingernail, right from the back, and you break the bird from the back of the neck. That's parallel to shechita and kamitza. But there's no kabbalah, because you then take the whole bird, walk it over to the... you're actually already on the mizbeach. And then if it's a... Depending on whether it's a karban ola or a karban chatas, so if it's karban ola, you just do a mitzui. You just take the headless bird, and you squeeze the blood directly onto the wall of the mizbeach. If it's a karban chatas, then you do both a mitzui and a hazah. So you do a wiping and you do a spritzing. So it's, if it's not for the faint of heart, I guess, kind of have to be comfortable with some gory situations. But those are the basic avodos when it comes to a zevach, a mincha, and a bird. Moshe mentioned trumas hadeshen earlier, so that's a great way of highlighting that there are other things which are done in the mikdash. And you want to ask, is this an avoda or not? So what do we mean that we say that these four are avodas? So obviously, these are the four, which are the only ones which can create a psul of shelo lishma, right? Either shina kodesh or shina bailim, which we referenced briefly. You would think that these four, something is an avoda, so surely an avoda needs kohanim, right? I think it's reasonable to say that a shechita, that an avoda needs a kohen. Except the Gemara says in a bunch of places, shechita lav avodahi, shechita is ksher bizar, and it doesn't need the bailim. So what exactly is the status of shechita? On the one hand, it's one of the four avodas. On the other hand, it's lav avodahi. So that's a whole huge sugya, but that's something we should be aware of. Just a couple of quick pieces on the other avodas over here. So holacha is a whole question of, holacha might be like a junior partner in the world of avoda, because you cannot bring a carbon without slaughtering the animal. You cannot bring a carbon without catching the blood, right? But if we had a bunch of like middle schoolers here and we told them about the bring a carbon, one of them would ask, Rabbi, what if I shachta the animal right next to the mizbeach? Couldn't I just throw the blood directly onto the mizbeach if I got there long enough? So that's the question of holacha afshalavatla. It's a question of the first parak in Zvachim. Can holacha be skipped? And if so, does that affect its status? So that's a question in Zvachim, but I don't think we'll really talk about it this year. And then Zrika. So Zrika is the primary mechaper, and that is the primary avoda for the karbanos, except maybe karban pasach, as we mentioned before, right? Normally done on the mizbeach with either one, two, or four nisinos adam. If it's a chatas pnimis, so then you have seven towards the parochas and four on the mizbeach hazav. And for Yom Kippurim, you have seven in the Kodesh HaKadashim, seven on the parochas, and seven in the mizbeach hazav. Okay. You need lishma, as we said, right, for all four of these avodas. Has to be brought for the proper carbon and the proper owner. If you don't do that, so if it's a carbon chatas or a carbon pesach, the Mishnah beginning of Zvachim tells us carbon's DOA, it's pasul. If it's any other carbon, so then it is kasher v'lo ol v'ayil m'shem chova, meaning you go ahead and it's like a walking zombie. You go ahead, you continue with the avoda. However, you're not yotze. So if I was misnadei v'nola and the kohen had the shlo l'shma, so I have to go back home and then bring another ola after the fact. There's a very...
What are the two carbonos is that?
Chatas and Pesach. Chatas and Pesach. Let's keep it at that. Might be a little more, but let's keep it at that. Which right away raises the questions about, what makes these different from all others. So we're going to spend a lot of time in the carbon chatas this year, right? So we need to know that the carbon chatas has this psul shalol d'shma, our carbonos don't. There's a very classic piece in the Grizz that we are not going to discuss, but he asks whether sholashma is, did you disqualify the carbon, or is there just a lack of hechsher in the carbon? And if we were doing svachim, that would be a whole discussion, but we at least are not going to do that for now. But you just be aware that it exists. Okay. Ad kan avodas, any questions, or should we plow ahead? Let Moshe finish typing for a second. Press enter. Good. Okay, so we could talk about kedusha. Different kinds of kedusha. So we kind of referenced a little bit kedusha, kadshe kadshim and kadshim kalim, but that's not really what we're talking about over here. So we'll talk first about two basic categories of kedusha, and then ways to create kedusha. You can divide the world of kadshim in two different ways. Rav Dani Wolf loves talking about this and how they normally are parallel to each other, but they're not always. You could ask if something has kedushas mizbeach or kedushas berek habayis. Something has kedushas mizbeach, that means it's also part of the mizbeach. If something has kedushas berek habayis, that means it's part of what they would call the temple treasury. Hekdesh has lots of assets. It's probably the greatest hedge fund was Hekdesh. So that's the world of berek habayis. The gizbar has the right to buy and sell, redeem and trade in assets, but they have kedusha. If you take them, there's me'ila. Then you also have another way of dividing kedusha. You can ask, does an object have kedushas damim, or does it have kedushas aguf? Kedushas damim meaning its sanctity really just inheres in the monetary value that this thing has, as opposed to kedushas aguf, where the object itself has inherent kedusha. Now, normally, how would these two be parallel to each other, you would think? Correct, right? Normally you'd say, okay, Kedushas Mizbech equals Kedushas Haguf, while Kedushas Bet HaKabayis equals Kedushas Damim. But we should be aware that that's not technically the case. Ravdani loves talking about this. Two basic examples. Let's say I take out my wallet and I say, these $1,000 are designated to buy a Karban Olah. So what's the status of that money? So it's Kedushas Damim. It's not Kedushas Aguf. It's Kedushas Damim. But you wouldn't say it's Bet HaKabayis, right? It's Kedushas Mizbeach. On the flip side,
that's what we call Kedushas Damim LaMizbeach.
Right. So, right, these are usually parallel, but we have to understand that they're different ideas, and therefore they're not always parallel. And you can see that sometimes the relationship breaks down. The Avne HaMikdash, I think the stones of the Mikdash have Kedushas Aguf, but they're definitely not Kedushas Mizbeach, right? They're Kedushas Bet HaKabayis. The basic difference between Kedushas Aguf and Kedushas Bet HaKabayis is Kedushas Aguf lo paka, right? Since the Kedusha isn't... But the difference between Kedushas Aguf and Kedushas Bet HaKabayis.
Those...
Kedushas Aguf and Kedushas... I'm sorry. See, I made the same mistake. There's between Kedushas Aguf and Kedushas Damim. See? Exactly. That's why it's hard to make sure that we got that down. Thank you very much. Kedushas Aguf, since it's inherent to the Chavtza, it doesn't go away. As opposed to Kedushas Damim, which since it's only monetary, it can. So if you have something which has Kedushas Damim, and you do Me'ila unintentionally, the object you committed Me'ila on will be Yotzei L'Chulin. It's going to become chulin. You have the option of pidyon. You can redeem it. And if you redeem it, it's going to become full-fledged chulin. As opposed to something which has kedushas aguf, mi'ila, the halacha is yesh mi'ila achar mi'ila. It's going to keep on going. And you can't be posed. We said a minute ago, right? We talk about tamura. You can't swap your carbon. You also can't redeem it. What's the one exception? When can you redeem a carbon, which you sanctified? If the carbon gets a mum. If the carbon gets a mum, then you can redeem it. But even in that case, there are lingering expressions of the Kedusha. There's an Isser Giza and Isser Avoda. You can't shear the wool of the animal, and you can't put it to work. So even in those cases, something is always lingering. Mash'in ken Kedushas Damim. The Kedusha was only monetary, and therefore once it's gone, it's gone. Okay, so ad kan about basic Hakdama to types of Kedusha. Let's do a very basic Hakdama to ways to be makdish. How can you create kedusha? What's the normal way to create kedusha? And we'll talk about three over here. The normal way to be makdish things is kedushas peh, right? I take Betsy and I say Betsy's going to be a carbon shlomim. Voila, right? I declared Betsy's a carbon shlomim. I take some of my assets and I declare these assets are being donated to hekdash. Verbal hakdasha. That's the normal way to create Hakdasha. There's a second way. In the world, especially in the world of Menachos, this is the only way. Menachos, there's no Kedushas Peh. You only have Kiddush Kli. The Mincha is only sanctified once it comes into contact with a Kli Shares. The Kli Shares, one of the Kelim of the Mikdash, creates Kedusha to things which are inside it, assuming the Kli Shares is inside the base of Mikdash. So that's piece number two. And then we should be aware that both Zvachim and Menachos, even though at the first level of Kedusha they're different, the first level of Kedusha for an animal is you sanctify it verbally, a Mincha you sanctify by placing it into the Kli Shares, but then both Zvachim and Menachos have a second level of Kedusha, which the Valtal calls Kedusha's Karba. When does that happen? So when you commence the Avoda, the Shechita / the Kabbalah Sadam, creates a new level of Kedusha in the Karban, which we call Kedusha's Karban. What's the difference between Kedusha, the pre-existing Kedusha, and Kedusha's Karban? So one nafkamina is this going to be Nifsal Belina, right? Once you have Kedusha's Karban, you can't make it, it's going to be destroyed if it remains overnight, which I think we're also not going to talk so much about. I think that comes up in the... We might. I don't know. I think that comes with the third paragraph of Yuma. Okay, so those are ways to be Makdash. Finally, we want to talk about Makomos. We're going to finish on time, which is awesome.
Anashim also.
What?
Anashim.
Makomos and Anashim, exactly.
Just in terms of Hakdasha. So we have Kedushas Peh, Kedushas Aguf, Kedushas Karban. Those are all the normal ways to be Makdash.
What is Kedushas Karban Chala and Mincha?
Nesina B'Kli.
So it gets both levels of Kedushas simultaneously.
Ah, very good. No, the when you prepare a Mincha, so you prepare at a stage, the Mincha before Kemitza is placed in a Kli Sharis.
Okay.
There's a right, you have to mix the flour and the oil, and how you do it depends on which mincha you're preparing. But very good. Yeah, no, thank you for clarifying that. So that happens before.
So just one other thing to think about when it comes to Hakdasha. So these are all the normal ways of being mocked or something. You take a bag of flour and you say Hare Zu Mincha, right? So you take an animal, you say Hare Zu, you know, Shlomim. There is another way, and Noach alluded to it earlier, and that is Temura, which is an alternative way of being makdish something. So even though you're not supposed to do Temura, it's possible to be makdish an animal through Temura. So you say, Hare zu Temura zu, you are makdish that animal.
Right. So, were you makdish that? Was the Torah makdish that?
So is that primarily a hakdasha, or is the hakdasha a consequence of the Avera? It's a big discussion. It's a question at the beginning of Temura, but it certainly creates a chalos of Kedusha, which is different than the standard way of creating a chalos of Kedusha.
Yeah.
It creates a weird, what you're left with is a very weird thing, and that's why the Gemara spent many blots trying to figure out, well, what is this thing that you just created? But it is a way of creating Kedusha.
Is it a nice Akdasha to say, like, I've got $1,000 Kedusha Zaman, I'm going to, you know, buy a chandelier for the base of Mikdash? You makdish the chandelier, or is that not really?
Have you designated the $1,000 that belongs to Hekdesh already?
I previously already designated it belongs to Hekdesh. Now I buy something with it.
Well, if it belongs
to Hekdesh, the chandelier did not have Hekdesh.
Well, if it belongs to Hekdesh, you don't buy the chandelier.
Yeah, what are you doing?
It's not your money. I'm the Gizbar. I got promoted.
So now the Gizbar is just, you know, no sivinosin with that money.
Okay.
Right? That doesn't change the status of Kedusha. There is something called Hekdesh Ilui, which is also a very nuanced type of thing where you can take the value of a carbon and elevate it to a different level. So that Makdisha knows a Hekdesh Ilui. So that's within two kinds, within one Cheftza, you can have two strata of Kedusha. It's called Hekdesh Ilui. But that's different.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you they put out the chidushin they had collected from Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, the chidushi agram, and if you go through it, you'll find that half the book is in Hilchos Me'ila, and you can understand why, because that's dealing with all this stuff. Okay, so we want to talk about Makomos and Anashim in the next 8 minutes. So let's tackle it. So when it comes to places, okay, so let's throw over you guys for a second. So different ways we can categorize different places and their kedusha. Yerushalayim, excellent. Right, we're in the world of Hekdesh. We'll start from there. So it's on my list. Machane Yisrael, Yerushalayim. Right, we mentioned before. Kachim Kalim are eaten inside the Machane Yisrael. They're eaten inside Yerushalayim. Excellent. In the world of Kudshim, is it so? Like the carbon of Omer has to be brought from wheat grown in Eretz Yisrael, but is that like a din in Kudshim and Mikdash?
So Shetra says yes.
Really?
Yeah. He thinks there are two girsos in that mission at the beginning of Kalim about why Eretz Yisrael is from Kudesh and Mishar and Rotzos. So the Mishnah says, Shemimeno Mevin Omer and Shtei Alechem. Which is a very strange thing. Eretz Yisrael is from Kudesh and Mishar and Rotzos because of Omer Shtei Alechem. So Rav Shechter explains that he says that the Mishnah is talking all about Kedushas Mikdash, and that these are 10 levels of Kedushas Mikdash.
Mm-hmm.
And in theory, the Omer and the Shtei Alechem should have been grown in the Mikdash. It's just there is a din, you're not allowed to plant things in the Mikdash. So Eretz Yisrael has an extended Kedushas Mikdash, so that by planting the Omer and the Shtei Alechem in Eretz Yisrael, that has the Kedusha of Kedushas Mikdash. And therefore, that's what's listed in that Mishnah.
Fascinating.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, a nafkamina of that din, I don't remember that he said this, and I don't remember if this is true, but I think that that din does not apply to Eivar HaYarden. If you look, there's an etziv in the Hamad
Dabar. It wouldn't, right. I mean,
that Eivar HaYarden, it has Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, but it doesn't have the same level of Bechiras Makom, which is all about Mikdash. So there are elements of Eretz Yisrael, in this case of Omer Shei Alechem, which are reflecting, according to Rav Schechter, the Kedushas Mikdash Shal Eretz Yisrael.
Okay. Very good. Very, very good. Okay, so then the next level after Yerushalayim would be the Har Habayis, which is also Machane Levia. Right? Anybody who has Tumah Migufo is prohibited from entering Machane Levia. So that's why nowadays the whole discussion of Har Habayis, this comes up, because this is all, you know, women and Har Habayis discussion, because you're in Machane Levia territory. I guess the third level you have more Midraban and the Chael and the Yesus Nashim, but really after that we get to the Azara. We mentioned the Azara, that's already Machane Shechina. I think it was Rav Lichtenstein has a fascinating diak we saw last year. It was amazing. When the Ram talks to this, he says that the Yerushalayim is Kim Machane Shechina. No, Yerushalayim is Kim Machane Yisrael, and the Har Habayis is Kim Machane Leviyah, and the Mikdash is the Machane Shechina. He drops the kaf ademayon, right? So you're in the Azara, as we mentioned before already. Kadshe Kadshim are already in the Azara, right? Tumas Mace is not allowed in the Azara, right? Balikari, you gotta get out of the Azara. You proceed from there. The next level is as you get closer and closer to the Kodesh HaKadashim. So after the Azara, you have the realm of Bein Ulam LeMizbeach. Right, the ulam being like the, you know, the mikdash is like an upside, like a T, right? So the other part of the T is the ulam. So anywhere between the ulam and the mizbeach, you cannot be there if you, assuming you're a kohen, you can't be there if you have long hair or if you're drunk. Whether or not non kohanim can be there is controversial, because it sounds from the Gemara pretty clear that kohanim. That if you are not a Kohen, you cannot be there, and you cannot be on the Mizbeach. The Ram doesn't really seem to talk about that, so the Mishnah Melech talks about this. But already, we're being more restrictive and more restrictive in terms of who is allowed to be there. One step beyond Bein Ulam Mizbeach is the Heichal itself. What's the next level of who's allowed to be in the Heichal? So you're only allowed to be in the Heichal if you're doing Avoda. Otherwise, it's called Bia Rekanis. You can't walk into the Heichal for no reason, even if you're a full-fledged Kohen. You're a full-fledged Kohen Gadol. Doesn't matter. In order to be in the Heichal, you have to be doing Avoda. Otherwise, it's Bia Rekanis. And then, of course, we'll have to see, we learn Yuma, is if all the Heichal is the same. But for now, let's just say it's one Makom. And then the Kodesh HaKadashim. So, obviously, you can't be in the Kodesh HaKadashim if you're just there for kicks and giggles. And we know that's only the Kohen Gadol. On Yom Kippur, and we'll have to analyze that more. But so really, you know, I think in terms of the people, right, for sure, from the perspective of people, so you have, right, Machane Yisrael on a Deraisa level, Machane Yisrael, right, Mitzoras can't be in Machane Yisrael. So then Machane Leviyah, the Azara, Bein Ulam Mizbeach, let's say Zarim are not welcome, Birik, the Heichal, you have to be doing Avoda, and the Kodesh HaKadashim, only calling God on Yom Kippur when he's doing the Avoda. Okay. Finally, we'll talk about different people, and really different. Anashim was a cute way of saying, let's talk about the Kohen Gadol for 3 minutes, because we're going to be learning Yuma. So the Kohen Gadol is going to be the center, right? So as Rosh Hashanah say, on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol is the star of the show. So what are the different dinim between the Kohen Gadol and regular Kohanim? So I put a list of six main dinim which separate the Kohen Gadol. It's not comprehensive, but just some of the basic ones that he stands out. Number one is Begadim, right? He's wearing 8 big day kahuna instead of 4, and we'll have to see if the 4 which he wears that other kohanim wear, are they the same or are they different? But for sure their Begadim are different. Number two, and really the central one for us this year, is only the Kohen Gadol is allowed to do Tevaras Yom Kippurim, and we'll need to define what exactly that is. I think that's going to be the second chabur we're going to do this year. Before we get to the third parak, we're going to talk about the 7 days of the Kohen Gadol, the Prisha. Remember, we have to talk about Prisha the Kohen Gadol, and we have to talk about what is Avodas Yom Kippur. So those will be, I think, the two pieces we'll do before we get into the third parak. There's a machlokas in the Rishonim about one other karban, whether the Kohen Gadol has to bring that. Normally, the assumption is Kohen Gadol, only the Kohen Gadol brings the Avodas Yom Kippurim, and again, we'll discuss what that is. But the rest of the year, you know, Rosh Hashanah says, the rest of the year, he's doing what he wants. He doesn't have to, you know, he can, but he doesn't have to. One possible exception is the Par Hel Nedarim Shel Tzibur. The Torah sound, the Pesukim sound like the Kohen Mashuach has to be the one to bring the Par Hel Nedarim Shel Tzibur, and it's Machlokes Rishonim if that is actually the case or not. Okay. The third major difference between Kohanim Gadolim and other Kohanim is Kohen Gadol cannot become Tamei under any circumstances except for Meis Mitzvah. And the Kohen Gadol also continues to do the avoda, even if he is an onein. And this is the discussion between Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron Cohen after the deaths of Nadav and Avihu. The fourth difference, Moshe mentioned this before. There's a special carbon that the Kohen Gadol brings. Torah talks about this in Parshas Tzav, called the Minchas Chavisin. There's a mincha of 12 loaves, I believe, that the Kohen Gadol brings. Half of it he brings in the morning, together with the carbon tamid. Half of it he brings in the afternoon, together with the carbon tamid. Rosh has a whole piece on explaining the view of the Rambam, how exactly those pieces are divided and what that means, but we'll talk about that at another time. Definitely we should get into it at some point this year. And then two more, the Kohen Gadol must marry a Besula. If you're a Kohen Hedyot, so we know you can't marry a Gusha or a Chalutza, but a widow would be fine. But a Kohen Gadol has to marry a Besula. And then finally, the Kohen Gadol cannot marry two women. We'll have to talk about this over this year. The Rambam thinks that he has to be married. And is that a din in Yom Kippur or the whole year? That will be something that we need to discuss. Just one last point on the Kohen Gadol, and then with this we'll close. How is the Kohen Gadol appointed? So the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, the long Mishnah at the beginning of Sanhedrin, which discusses all the things that different Batei Din do. So the Mishnah does not mention it as something that the Sanhedrin does. And the Rambam in Sanhedrin does not mention it either. Thing is that the Gemara talks about it elsewhere, and the Rambam does mention it in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash. So it's like, what's going on? If this is something that the Kohen Gadol, that the Sanhedrin has to do, so why are they not, why is that not mentioned under their list of responsibilities? The Minui Melech is mentioned in the Mishnah Sanhedrin. The Minui Melech is mentioned in the Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin. So why do we mention Minui Melech and not mention Minui Kohen Gadol? So the Griz has a piece on this, and I think the Rav did as well, where they explain that this reflects two different roles of the Sanhedrin, which sheds light on the role of the Kohen Gadol. The Sanhedrin acts in a judicial capacity, and that is exactly what the Mishnah is discussing in Sanhedrin. You do Gzeilas v'Chavalos, Dini Mamonos. That's all the judges in their judicial role. As judges, their job is to be Mamana the Melech. The Sanhedrin also has a whole nother role, which none of that is discussed in the Mishnah and Sanhedrin. And that is, Rand mentioned it before, we talked about Netzige Ha'am, right? The Sanhedrin has a representative role. So, you know, the Mishnah do not talk about, they don't talk about Egla Rufa, even though you need Zakenim from the Sanhedrin Gadol to be there on site for the Egla Rufa. The idea here is that really it's not the Sanhedrin who appoints the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol is appointed by Klal Yisrael. Kohen Gadol is the representative of the Am. The representatives of the Am are the Sanhedrin. So it's a very, very important idea for how we conceptualize the Kohen Gadol and the relationship between Klal Yisrael and the Avodas Yom Kippurim is realizing that the Kohen Gadol is there not as someone who's severed from the Tzibur, even though in some ways he is, but that he is there representing the Tzibur, and that is reflected by the way that he is appointed and the role that the Sanhedrin plays when they appoint him. Okay, so Ad Kan for Shkach. And Anasha. Shkach.